And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have Adele Adamson with us, and she has a very unique type of journey she's going to be sharing with us. She's actually given birth to her own children and has also been a gestational surrogate 2 times and working on her third. So without further ado, Adele, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, thank you, Ricky. So interesting. So I reached out to you because you were asking about birth stories, and I feel like my story is just unique because I've given birth different ways. And I would say, so my first was my own son. He is now 5. That was in 2015. Nothing too crazy about that birth. Normal, like hospital birth, epidural. And he came out perfectly normal and healthy. And then the second birth I had, I got pregnant right away again while I was like still breastfeeding. And I was not in a great relationship with the dad. We were like broken up. I had just like lost my job and it was crazy. So I started looking online for like adoption agencies. And it was like really hard to think about, like you're watching a YouTube video of like the best 7 minutes of like a family to adopt your baby. And you're like, like everyone can look good, I feel like, in like a 7 minute YouTube video. So I knew a girl from high school that she had tried IVF for like 10 years and her husband couldn't get pregnant. So I made the decision pretty early on. I think I was like 2.5 months pregnant when I made the decision to let them adopt my second son. And it was good. Like adoption is hard, super hard, but I knew them. So I knew like, I knew their family, I knew their cousins, I knew where they were from, I knew their like beliefs. Her and I weren't like the best of friends because she was much more of a goody two shoe than I was. But I'd like just started a new job. I was 31. And they actually paid for counseling for me, which was smart and amazing. But she also is a psychologist, like the mom is a psychologist. So she knew how much mental health like meant to everybody in the situation. So I was going to counseling and we decided like together, it was a brand new job. I didn't need to explain to everybody my whole life story. So I told them about my new job that I was a surrogate. In my mind, emotionally, I knew I was giving this baby to somebody else. So I was a surrogate emotionally. So I was in the break room, super pregnant, and this girl walks up to me. She's super pregnant. And she was like, hey, I heard you're a surrogate. She goes, I'm actually a surrogate too. And I was like, oh, funny story. I'm not really a surrogate. This is actually my baby I'm going to adopt, but like, I find surrogacy really interesting. And she's like, if you have any questions or are interested, after you're like healed and everything, let me know. I can give you more information. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I let my family know and like my counselor, and they were like, okay, well, wait until your hormones are all settled after a year, then maybe like think about it. So second pregnancy, like second delivery, the mom actually got put on medication. A lot of people don't know this is a thing, but she started pumping and producing milk, even though she wasn't the one pregnant. And I guess that's been a thing for a really long time. And so she was actually pumping in the delivery room, like while I was having contractions and stuff, crazy. And then he came out and she helped catch him come out. And he was born with the sac still in, which was like super special. And they say it's like one in a, I don't even know, more than a million that that happens. But they also say it's like the angel wings holding on until the end, like as much as possible. So he is healthy and he's 4 and my son's 5 and they sometimes still do FaceTimes and we've met 3 times or 4 times now just at like playgrounds and parks and like their grandparents' house and stuff. So we have like a really healthy relationship with both the brothers. No, there's no secrets, which I think is amazing. And that's how I feel like it should always be, but that's also my personal experience. So then after my hormones died down, I was still researching surrogacy and really wanted to do it. Contacted my coworker and she had me fill out some paperwork. The paperwork is crazy when you want to be a surrogate. Like you have to fill out all this stuff for like, are you okay with a same-sex couple for parents? We call them IPs. Or do you only want them to be like one female? Do they have to be married? Do they have to be Christian? Do you care about religious beliefs? Or like the biggest part is like, if they have multiple pregnancies, want to reduce one of the babies, you have to be okay with that basically because it's not your baby and it's not your decision. So that's like you're really signing your life away. And then you go through the process. I went through an agency. Not everyone goes through an agency. I highly recommend if it's a good agency, just because your first time they walk you through it. Go through like a mental health screening, background check. You have to, you can't be on like state assistance because you can't like need them. I think it's something to do with like you're healthier that way. Also like your mental health, like you can't be like in collections and craziness like that, like getting sued currently. Once you're done with the paperwork, then you go on to like matching. So that's when you're with the agency, like you find someone to match with. So you interview with people, usually like Skype. Agency will like match your personality up to hopefully someone as well. I did talk to a couple, a same-sex couple in Seattle, and I'm from Seattle, but I now live in Boise. And we just didn't mesh very well. And I was like kind of disappointed, thought that that was how it was always going to be. And then I interviewed with another couple, same-sex couple from Israel, and they were amazing. And then because we had so many people on the Skype, I mean, nowadays that's normal, but this was like 4 years ago. So I feel like it wasn't as normal, but because it was them and then an interpreter and then me and then the agency. And so they asked questions. I asked them questions about like, you know, who is their support system? Because I knew how hard it is raising a baby. That's why I made the decision to have my son be adopted, because I knew how insanely hard it is. And like, if you don't have support, it's really hard. You really need a village. So I had to fly to New York from Boise for medical clearance and my, mental health screening, and then flew back home and then started dating a guy and let him know like, hey, I'm about to get pregnant and not mine. And so he was like, I'm fine with that. That's great. Like, what a wonderful gift. And so then when, it's called a transfer date, when they take the embryo and they transfer it into you and hopefully it's your ovary and then you grow a baby. So it happens, then they fly you and your significant other, and then you get implanted and hope that it sticks. So on all of my like search groups and stuff on Facebook, we all are like thoughts to each other. And then after heartbeat, then it's like your pregnancy confirmed and stuff. And then the way that payments are set up is that you get paid for being like uncomfortable during pregnancy. So you get paid every month. And then they also pay for like maternity clothes generally. And then paid you all at the end, they would be paying you for like a human life. So that's why they don't do it that way. And then you kind of get a choice on what happens in the delivery room. Now, I've had a midwife for 3 out of my 4 deliveries, and I highly recommend it. She's just there all the time. I've been able to text her, like her and I are super close. And so she's very much in tune to like, what is best for me is going to be best for everybody because I'm the one like delivering. So one of the dads caught the baby coming out and the other dad cut the umbilical cord. So that was how the first birth went, and it was amazing. So then they put the baby on my skin because like that's what she was used to. Now I had asked them to record like their voice, which is also what I did for my adoption, like on through like emails, I could download it so that the baby could hear their voice because like they speak Hebrew and I do not, and so they would read a book that was recorded. I also did that. Because the couple that adopted my second son, she has like the most beautiful soprano voice. So her and her husband like read and then sang. And so I started that with the adoption part. And then they were so happy that I suggested it for the surrogacy. So when she came out, I think she definitely like heard them and knew like, this is familiar. And they're a beautiful couple. And it says in there that like, how much do you want to like have contact with the couple afterwards? I always put whatever they're comfortable with because like new babies are like newborns are just like you're never sleeping and you question every single diaper that they have if that's like a normal diaper and everything. So I was like, you guys are gonna be pretty busy. So we kept in contact probably more than I keep in contact with some of my babies. They text me probably every other day, checking in, saying hi, sending pictures, videos. I send them pictures of our family stuff. And so then I was like, oh, I kind of want to do this again, like how happy they were with like their outcome and growing their family. It was just so crazy to be part of and humbling. And so I am all about the underdog. I just did a surrogacy for a single Chinese guy. He has lived in New York for like years, and he's an engineer. And there was definitely like a cultural and just different, it was definitely a different feeling. And I told my significant other, I was like, well, it's fine. I don't need like a whole bunch of best friends. Like, it's hard enough to keep up with our family now. But then COVID hit and it was like so different because he was supposed to fly out with his sister to help him with the birth and she like wouldn't fly. And so it was just him. He had to hire a nanny. And I think just the cultural difference between like Chinese men, a really outgoing, crazy Hispanic girl are just really opposite. So like we just had different ideas on what normal is for when the baby came out. Like he wasn't in the room. It was just my boyfriend because of COVID. He was scared after she came out and he left the hospital and left her. And I was like super emotional, like, oh my gosh, he doesn't want the baby. The only reason why the baby's in the world is because of me. He doesn't want her. And like, I had to talk to like the surrogacy agency and they had to like call him and make him come back to the hospital. He was very concerned he would do something wrong to harm her. So he thought it was better that like doctors were just hovering over her. But like the nurses were like, I have to teach you how to take care of her. So you have to be here. So we never left the hospital. Like, we're literally there for like 5 days trying to teach him how to take care of this baby. And my boyfriend, bless his heart, like helped him with the car seat, helped him with the stroller and everything. And now they're doing fine. They live back in New York in their flat with like, cause their whole family lives there. Like his sister, her family, cause that's kind of like their culture. They all live together. And so that was definitely different. And now I just signed legal paperwork to do my third surrogacy. I haven't decided to put my uterus up to rest after that or not, but it's for the same couple from Israel, and they're gonna do a boy this time, and then I think they're done. But so yeah, in a nutshell, that's my life for the past 6 years, just being at St. Luke's Hospital in Boise.
Wow. First off, I gotta say, like, your heart is seriously amazing. Like, what you're doing for people, like, I know how, or I personally don't know, but as a mom, like, I know it might be a little tricky, like, you know, going through a pregnancy and stuff, and for you to just keep giving, like, it just speaks volumes about, like, the person you are and the heart that you have. Like, you're seriously giving one of the most precious gifts on this earth to people, and you're doing it so, like, selflessly and so amazingly, and just like you can totally tell you're doing it for the right reasons, and it like warms my heart so much to even your story is seriously awesome. And so I hope that if the third one does go on to work out for you, that you come back and you kind of share that journey with us, because I would love to hear about it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's been pretty crazy, so but yeah, it's been amazing this whole time. I feel like it's definitely didn't think in high school.
So do you
this
have
is any, where I would be?
Right. So do you have any plans to have any more children of your own, or are you just kind of doing
good
work for
good
others?
Question. So after my second son was adopted, I actually got my tubes tied, because I can't imagine being that child and knowing I kept my first baby, but not him. And then if I had any more, then like, I literally want him. That's how I would feel if that was him. And my first pregnancy, like my first delivery, like I was 30 and not getting younger. So I knew whoever I met would probably have kids. Like, I just had that feeling, and I met the most wonderful man, and he has four. So when all of the kids are together, like, we basically go from needing like my tiny compact Kia Rio to needing a passenger van to go downtown. Like, so
that's awesome. I drive a passenger van, so I can relate with that. I have six kids. So I have a quick question too about surrogacy. Like, is there a certain time period that you have to wait in between? Like, do they have like a guideline for that, or do you basically just whenever you feel ready?
So 6 months for vaginal delivery, and I think it's a year for a C-section. Thankfully, I have a C-section. Oh, okay. So and I've never actually even had stitches, so my sister-in-law calls me a unicorn. But
definitely, it sounds like you were just made for this. Like, how interesting. Like, this is like your calling, and it's so weird how it just like lines up so perfectly. And how crazy, what an awesome story. Is there anything else you want to add, resources of sorts, or
I would not say like resources I want to add, but I guess something that like always like it's really core to my heart is that I feel like so many people, the issue for them is like pro-choice or like pro whatever the other word is, I can't even imagine, I can't even think of it, but like
pro-life.
Everyone talks about adoption, but like nobody talks about adoption and like how wonderful it is for both parties. And I just wish made it cheaper for the family, or like more companies reimburse for like adoption expenses. So I think like what I want to do with like the money that I've been making is I want to do something with adoption and like trying to make it cheaper and resources for like US people trying to adopt, and also for like child welfare, I would love to also be a foster family. So we've been looking into buying a home where we can do that. And I want to open like a riding facility, like a therapeutic horse riding that is open up for like health and welfare families or foster families. So they don't have to pay for it, like a nonprofit. So like all of that was never even like a thought in my mind until my, like I 30, like I got voted like most likely to be in WWF in high school. Like a powerlifter. Totally. I never thought I would have kids. And then, you know, now I've had four since 2015. So it's been a roller coaster.
My goodness. Well, Adele, your heart is like pure gold. You're doing amazing work for families. It's incredible. And I just want to thank you so much for reaching out to me and taking the time to come on and share your story on my podcast. And I know that the listeners are seriously going to just love this. So again, thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you, Reggie, for having me.
Hey y'all, that's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening, and until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.